welcome back to another edition of The Exchange presented by Confederation Group. As always, I'm Sam McPhail. This week on tap, we have Kent McPhee, the owner, or co-owner, I should say, of the Old Dublin Pub and Colada Oyster House. So we have a pretty lengthy interview with Kent, basically just about how he and his business partner and his staff have maneuvered through COVID-19, what he thinks will happen because of it, and the opportunity he sees at the end of the tunnel. So in light of Canada Day week and the holiday, we decided to record a little bit early. And since it is such a long interview, we won't have as much as a build up or a discussion prior to the interview. So without further ado, I will switch it over to our interview with the Kent McPhee. So we're here today with a close mentor, friend, I call him my uncle, I guess. Mr. Kent McPhee at the Colada Oyster House in Old Dublin Pub on Sydney Street. I guess you've owned it for probably close to 2 years now, Kent?
It is 2 years this month. Yeah, it's our second anniversary. What a way to celebrate. 2 years!
You know, it's been a great, this is a beautiful facility. And we're at the high-end part. We just went up earlier at the Dublin side, which is
yes.
A more popular location. Maybe Sam and I may have frequented there more later at night. But you've owned this business now for 2 years.
Yes.
You've just been whacked with this industry blight, I guess, COVID.
Yeah,
it's affected not just restaurants, but it's affected every business segment. I think more so probably restaurants.
Yes.
Have you found this? Have you adapted to it? What are your big
Didn't see this coming when I signed the check, you know, a couple of years ago with my business partner, Ken Scales. We were proud as heck to be able to be in a position to buy both the restaurants in one building. Kim and Liam had opened this in 1983. I think it's likely perhaps the longest standing restaurants in the city with the same brand.
That's still going, yeah, exactly.
I think Papa Joe's was perhaps right around the same time, but I could be wrong. I haven't done too much history on it, but I know we've been here for like 37 years.
Wow.
And Kent and I, for the last two, like many restaurants and many businesses, things were rolling along pretty darn good in, 2015, 16, 17, 18, in many, many sectors across PEI, things were booming, this place was booming when we purchased it, and purposely we didn't make a lot of changes. We just come in to carry on the same service standards that people have come to expect. And when March came, and it was kind of ironic that things shut down on St. Patrick's Day, because that's for many islanders, they would know that's our biggest day and funnest day of the year, and have to close at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock. It was quite a shock to see a place that's normally rocking and other places, of course, on St. Patrick's Day. So yeah, it's been a journey. It's been a journey to say the least. For those people that know me, I've worn rose-colored glasses for a lot of my life, and I can tell you, they get pretty dim on some of these days, right? Because you have to, you have to dig deep, in helping people through it. You have to help your business through it. You have to help your employees through it, and you have to help your customers through it. I think that's what's fascinated me the most about the first 2 years is how many awesome customers that we have here and are loyal to this place. And some of them, we have groups of people here that have been coming, to this building, same seat, same time for 30 plus years.
Wow.
Dave Thompson and Ian Smith and a whole group that come Saturday morning.
Yes, yeah,
Saturday mornings to the upstairs, yeah, to the end of the bar. And Dave's grandson, Kieran, comes with his dad, Sean, and he's been coming here every Saturday morning since he was, I think, 3 weeks old.
Wow.
You know, so we were blessed to.
Cheap babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
The wife's still chopping or something.
Yeah,
Saturday
yeah.
Morning.
Yeah, all honest. Well, they do the, you know, Dave's wife, Joyce, you know, they do their, you know, the guy's wives, they do their thing. And then, but you can, you know, you can pretty well, you know, you know where Dave's going to be and Sean and Kieran, you know, and you know what they're going to eat and stuff. So there's, you know, aside from the business side of it, there's just so much
deep relationship
and history in the place. And, you know, some of the customers of our regulars I knew and many I've met, and I couldn't be more thankful, you know, how they, you know, supported us, whether it through, you know, since we've reopened or you know, supported us during the curbside,
yes,
takeout and through April and May and stuff. But you got to dig deep. You know, I think, you know, whether you're in business, no matter who you are these days, you have to dig deeper than you ever did before, and likely dig deeper than you even knew you could.
So I see you've got a little bit of a brogue. So this is an iconic sort of restaurant. You adapted to it very well, but it's pretty ironic. You mentioned this now, St. Patty's Day, which is the longest day of the year probably for you and certainly the best.
Yeah.
That's the day the wheels came off this. And when that was coming off, you kind of saw it coming, but did you think we'd be into this long of a impact when you were forced to close?
Oh, not at all. And I don't think anybody did. You know, I don't think anywhere in perhaps the world thought it would last this long. We could sense leading up to the 17th, you know, as we watched the virus expand, you know, in other parts of the world. So, you know, some of us started, you know, self-isolating perhaps even before, you know, we had to. We had... I had been speaking every day with Paul at the Old Triangle in days leading up to St. Patrick's Day to see what, because we usually do the same. I guess we're competitors, but we're also friends, right? So we were going to do, you know, mirror what the other one was going to do. So we decided, you know, even in advance of closing, that it was likely perhaps irresponsible to even proceed with it
and try
before, you know, the closures come into effect. But we said, okay, well, you know what? Let's take a different approach. Let's go with May 17th instead of March 17th, May 17th. Yes. And it turned out that it was the long weekend in May, like thinking, hallelujah.
Right. Yes, we
could be our best one ever.
Back in business.
Yeah, where, you know, you got more predictable weather, you know, and stuff. So we figured May 17th, we would be having, you know, a great Irish party on site.
Yeah.
And then May 17th came and passed.
Yes.
For those wondering if we're going to have one, we still hope and plan to have one. In fact, we have ladies from the western end of PEI that have been coming here for 30 years or so at St. Patrick's Day advised me they're coming in their Irish attire, five or six of them, I think, from
whether
out west.
Whether
we're open or not, they're coming. So... don't know what I'm going to have for musicians yet on that day, but we'll do something. It's a big deal to them, you know, to come, and it's a big deal for us that they do come and they stay, you know, they stay two nights at a hotel. They bring, I think, three or four outfits. They change every, because they come at 7.
Yes.
We have the breakfast.
It's different seating.
They come and, you know, I can't wait to see them. So I had somebody else tell me recently that he went out and bought a new $500 kilt, and he's expecting to wear it here for St. Patrick's Day. So we hope to have one.
It still fits.
Yeah. I'll tell you, mine wouldn't fit right now.
But how do you, you know, this has been pretty bad. I mean, I go to restaurants as often as I can. It's important to shop, support local. I don't know how a restaurant functions efficiently in this economy where you've got, you've done really well here, but I can see a lot of restaurants where you're shaved, not 50%, maybe you got 30% of your capacity. It's tough to make a viable business if you've got 70% of the chairs filled. And when you're slim back, maybe 30% available, you can't get the momentum.
Yeah.
In this kind of environment, you really, it's a very dynamic, energetic, you don't get that energy. And you're unique because this is a really substantial enterprise. But there's a lot of restaurants
do this.
And I think that's a story people don't get to see.
You're spot on, Blake. You know, and we like to think we're unique, and I guess in some ways we are, but we're certainly not unique to, the paralyzing of this. There's been a lot of words used to describe it, but to me, it's paralyzing, the restaurants, among a number of sectors that are perhaps hit the hardest, that the model doesn't work, at 50 people or in some cases, like here in the Clotta, we're, for social distancing, we can only really get about 28 in here.
What's your capacity?
Our capacity is about 60.
So that's a pretty substantial.
So that model wouldn't work. Actually, to tell you the truth, we brought them down a little bit.
So that's not efficient. The economies of trying to fill, it means cubic density. How many people can you get in a space?
Yes.
How quick can you turn them over?
Yeah.
And if you're cut back 50-30%, I mean, it's a challenge that I think many people, even if you go to frequent restaurants, you don't recognize the impact this is to business owners, restaurateurs, the staff who, are impacted in many cases, a large portion of their income is gratuity. And if you lose
it is.
And that ripples through the whole economy.
It truly does. And we've been able to hire back, a good chunk of our staff right now. thankful to have, wage subsidy program right now. You know what I mean? I really think, whether everybody agrees with it or not, I really think it's the difference of whether businesses are open or not.
Right.
And I've talked to different business owners that had no intentions of opening this summer without it. And I do know of some that have opened we could very well be one of them. If we didn't have that in place, it would make no sense to be open, with all due respect. Again, without crying woes, but you'd lose less at the end of the day, without that. With this, you lose less. I'm not crying woes, but like I say, locally and globally, restaurant owners and business owners, I think some are likely reluctant to say how bad they're hurting. To be honest with you,
it's bad for business.
It's also swallowing pride. You don't want to be able to be I've on the verge of bankruptcy or whatever the case may be.
You're spot on.
You're trying to say that you're doing better than you are. No, exactly.
And particularly in a small community like Charlottetown and even smaller communities,
and one that's so reliant on the tourism industry that you need tourism foot traffic through the door
we're blessed to have a very loyal local following. But in the summer, there's a lot of seasonal operations. So you're dealing, you're dealing with the same population, but with perhaps 40 to 50, other in the industry that are open, perhaps May till September or whatever. When there's tourists here, there's enough for everyone.
Right.
But certainly right now with our population numbers, there's nowhere close, to enough for all.
Now the bubble's open.
Yeah.
And there's some, I guess, apprehensive enthusiasm about what.
That's,
I think,
well,
everybody
said.
Really, you're hoping people come, but there's no way to measure it.
No.
I know. I mean, I had breakfast out at a little restaurant around the corner from here, and it was quiet.
Yeah.
And clearly they rely on that traffic. Generated
tourism.
It's not here yet.
Totally do. And we are, we are among them. We don't perhaps see, we would be less impacted by the cruise ships than some, more the waterfront restaurants are going to feel more of that. We would get a little bit from the cruise ships, but it's just general tourism, bus tours and maritimers and, from all over, but the cruise ship doesn't hit us as hard as it's going to nail some.
Right. But in that cruise ship, there's the tourism operators, there's the taxi companies.
I'm glad you mentioned taxi companies, because I tell you, there's not many taxi, you don't see many on the streets right now. They're one of the forgotten.
The airport's done.
Oh.
They're not sitting out here at late in the night picking up fares.
Nope. That's the same across all matters of business, too, because when we see, for example, a restaurant closes during COVID.
Yep.
Well, the restaurant's closed, but Joe Blow in the street doesn't realize, well, that means the meat supplier, the french fry supplier, the beer supplier, the napkin supplier, all those people feel the effect of the one restaurant and times up by 50 restaurants in Charlottetown.
Oh, you're spot on.
It's the chain of command, because a lot of people wouldn't realize that, oh, well, Dublin's closed. Yeah, but what does that mean? That means all their suppliers, the hundreds of suppliers you have, they're all feeling the hit too.
But excellent point, Sam, because, you know, some of those suppliers are ones that, again, people might not even think about how hard they're hit. You know, your natural thoughts go to ADL, you know, MRC Foods, you know, Mike's Queen, a lot of those processors that you mentioned. Mm. But we, and I suspect others, buy a lot, particularly in the summer months, from your small farmers, you know, that specialize in certain vegetables and stuff like that. And, you know, they get hit every bit as hard, and in some cases harder, you know what I mean? Because that is, it's their income, it's their livelihood. You know, it's such a ripple effect. You mentioned, you know, the taxi drivers, the airport and their employees, and tour companies, throughout Charlottetown, you know, but tour companies, tour guides, you know, how many people do we all know that, show our province and city so proudly to tourists? They're hit, you know, bam. You know what I mean?
And normally, in a functioning economy, you get this dovetail where people would be trained and they'd learn.
Yeah.
So in this particular case, you may lose a season or two
of
people who have that experience and that local knowledge that can't transfer it because you've got this gap.
Yeah.
Now, not to dwell on the negative. These are challenges.
People don't recognize the
whole supply chain.
You're
taxation. You know, if you don't have that business activity and the revenue to support the taxes that you're required to generate yourself out of this crisis, and government have spent a lot of money federally and provincially to support us to get through this. But I mean, from my perspective, and you're closer to the ground, I don't see it ending. Like, I think this is the earliest is probably 12, 18 month horizon. Beyond that, it could be multi years for some companies.
Yeah.
Now, again, we're in a great location, a stable, well recognized. Yeah. This is a high brand. You know, you and others like this business will recover faster.
Yeah.
But the impact and the effect and the diminishing of cash reserves is going to be profound for a lot of families.
You're spot on, Blake. And you know, no one, you know, is equipped enough right now to be able to say whether it is 6, 12, 18, 24 months.
Depends on the vaccine.
It truly does. And until then, you know, it requires, you know, continuous good behavior. You know what I mean? And I think Islanders, the fact that we've had, you know, zero transmission.
We're the envy of the world. We are,
you know, and you know, for those of us that love Prince of Island, I don't think we've ever loved it anymore than we have the last, you know, three or four months, and seeing that we do take it serious. Yeah. You know, we've listened to Heather Morrison and her, you know, guidance, we're the envy of many places in the world right now because we've listened, you know. And, you know, I think, you know, whether we're business owners or employees or whatever we do, I think, you know, we've demonstrated that Islanders have listened well. Yeah. And, you know, on the topic of listening, you know, I think it's, you know, and again, I'm not crying Moe's, but, you know, the business community of PEI is paralyzed. And I don't know that, you know.
Is that recognized or wondered?
I think, you know what, I think to some degree it might be. But I can tell you it's a fine line right now. Business owners, as I said, you know, no one ever likes to tell about a bad report card. You know, that's the one you hide from your mom and dad, right?
I never had any dad.
You would not have. Sam would not have that problem.
Mine are all in my bed
still. Steve and Jacqueline, you know, usually drove to the school to pick us up. You know, because I couldn't wait.
Wait, see it. It's a sought after bestseller every year. Here's a question I'll ask Sam. So we have been compliant to sort of just respond or adapt and accept the guidance we've been given. We've shut down. If you see what's happening in the States, they're not compliant. They're doing what they need to keep their economy active. I don't think the economy will ever shut down again. I think it was an experiment. It was important. We mitigated a lot of crisis.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can afford the type of duress that we put the economy under before. I'm not going to ask you because it might be unfair, but any thoughts, Sam, on, you know, if we get another incident, another viral outbreak, which I expect we probably will, that's a reasonable course of these viruses, how they work. There'll be some strong measures, and now there's new legislation to force people to, you know, do things that they may be uncomfortable with. Do you think people will be as compliant another time? And I guess, consequently, can business endure a long duration? In 14 days, sure, you can probably shut down. You can last 3 weeks if that's what it takes. But if it's longer than that, I'm not sure people will be as patient.
And I think we're just tip of the iceberg because, it's like you said, it's almost a pile. Like, it's a test. Well, this is what happened, and we did well, but what's going to happen when it blows up even more? I think there's almost like two trains of thoughts. There's my demographic, sorry to you guys.
Yeah.
Your demographic. But but the older demographic is more conservative in terms of, all right, well, let's shut down, let's be careful.
Yep.
But whereas my demographic, the under 25, under 30 crowd even, is going to say, well, I won't get it. Why do I care? Like, if the restaurant's open, the bar's open, I'm going to go. If the beach is open, I'm going to go. So I think there's two trains of thought in it. The older demographic is obviously more conservative, more, well, we got to stay home, we got to do this. But whereas maybe my friend group or my demographic, group, would be more willing to say, I don't give a shit, I'm going to go do what I want because I'm a kid. I don't care.
Which is the same.
Obviously, it's a little harder when there's no nightlife and stuff like that.
Yes,
but
yes.
You can still go and you can go get in trouble elsewhere, I suppose.
So do you think bars should be under these restrictions? If young people are going to socialize and are going to go out, should the economy be impacted by reducing bar complement?
Well, it depends how you look at it. Like, I understand the nightlife not being open because that's when it's packed at any bar. That's, you're right beside each other.
And they're shutting them down in Texas now. Like,
but in terms of a restaurant, when their capacity's 30-40%, whatever the case may be, you should be able to sit for, if you're, it depends how much you're drinking, I guess, but if you're not roaring at each other across the table, but if it's if you're reasonably distanced in terms of, instead of having 12 feet apart, 6 feet apart, whatever the case may be, I think they should be able to add a little bit more capacity of competency to what they can
and
do.
And a strong guideline to see people wearing masks.
Yes.
And there's different whole, I mean, even our office is a different compliance with cleanliness and cleaning, and when people come in, you scour everything. I mean, we're a Clorox factory now.
Yeah.
So maybe some of those things could be relaxed. But I guess the big question, will people come back?
Yeah.
I mean, is the public ready? Do they have the discretionary income to support this?
Yeah. You know what? Great questions and great outlook from the younger to the some of us that aren't so young anymore. I guess, you know, first I'm gonna reference the nightlife, you know, for your 30 and under crowd, which we, you know, which are very grateful to have. We have, as I always said, we get the cool kids. And, you know, I think you might have been here one Saturday night, sir. So anyway, we have a very, you know, we have a very loyal following. And, you know, despite the odd hours, I enjoy, you know, coming in from time to time and seeing those customers for ours late night. So we've had lots of inquiries, you know, to say the least, when are you going to late night? And we've chosen not to, despite, you know, additional, you know, impact. But we've been going just until midnight. You know, the midnight hour.
Does it matter?
Well,
bad things happen after midnight.
Yeah.
Does it really make a difference if you stand up those 2 extra hours? Because that's where you probably make more of your, as a business owner, I'd want to be open those lucrative hours.
You're
leaving a lot on the table. But
we are, but we're kind of walking before we run. We're kind of, to be honest with you, Blake, we're kind of testing it. Again, I guess much like, you know, I look at it almost as the you know, the Renew PEI program. We, you know, we're doing it in phases, right? We're in phase four. And I would love to have it, but right now I just need to be comfortable that everyone's going to be as responsible as they are before 12 o'clock. So, you know, so far so good, but we're just not going to take that risk just yet. But, you know, hopefully, you know, as, you know, more demonstrative good behavior, you know what I mean, and results, then we'll expand, you know, back to, you know, our normal hours.
Do you have that flexibility today? Can you extend your hours? You're under
restrictions? No, we can stay open until 2. It's just, it was a personal choice of Kent and I, you know, and our management team to just ease into it. Again, it's, you know, it's not that we want to do it. We just feel it's the responsible thing to do right now.
And a lot of it's around like strong decision-making. And prior to your restaurant scene, you were in communications. You still might be the lead singer in the Clyde River Presbyterian Church Choir. But to scale
lead
back
singer.
A bit,
yeah.
To scale back,
totally into the back row.
The importance of strong decision-making pre-COVID, post-COVID, everything. Like, I think fast and quick and just strong decision-making as a whole. I think you've proven that in terms of your management team as well, that, well, let's look at the facts.
Yes.
Let's analyze them and then go from there.
Yes.
I think a lot of people don't realize the importance of the planning aspect of it, because you can't just throw yourself in. If you don't have, you don't jump into a pool if you don't know how to swim.
That's a great thought, because it is, you know, it's crazy, you know. I've likely, you know, in the 2 years we've been here, the last 3 months have likely been my 3 busiest months, because planning and because what you plan one day and you think, okay, this, we know this. And it's just like, whew, you know, that plan could be thrown out the door because other plans, you know, in the neighborhood have changed and stuff. But I tell you, you know, and forecasting, you know, God love our chef, Mitch, you know, because we've had a lot of historical numbers, you know, to go from. And this year, it's just a shot in the dark, right? So thankfully, we have local suppliers, you know, 3 or 4 blocks away that we can run and get, you know, if we fall short. But no, that's a very good point, and perhaps one that people might overlook, you know, plan. But you know, we're happy, you know, we're happy with things, you know, the volumes are suffering 3 weeks in, but we're happy with, importantly, we're happy with the feedback from the customers, and every comfort, you know, every customer that's come in has felt comfortable with the measures we've taken, you know, to be responsible. We didn't, you know, we didn't put on a lot of fanfare, you know, what we were doing to, you know, address the, you know, the new measures, but I think our reputation would, you know, would prove to our regulars that we would take it seriously, you know, our standards. I'd like to think our standards are up there anyway. And you know, it costs a little bit more to have that in place, because you need extra door people, you know what I mean, in your busier hours, and to make sure that, you know, we just have one way in and one way out. So we have extra people on with, you know, headsets to make sure that no one's meeting in the stairway, that kind of stuff. But, you know, but they're sound investments. They're, you know, they're costs. But right now, as people, again, ease back in, we have to make sure that everyone's, you know, comfortable. You know?
So do you think you'll go back to the old normal? Like today, you'll probably never shake hands again. There'll be a lot of impacts. You're going to fundamentally change the way that we behave.
Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be profound changes to your business, especially the up third floor?
I you know, we're, again, we haven't ventured into the late night. The restaurant, you know, again, it's easier to manage, you know, with low numbers, you know, it's easier to manage. But yeah, I don't know what to expect late night, because, you know, we all know social distancing is the last thing on someone's minds at 1 a.m., you know, whatnot. So I really hope it, you know, it does resume, you know, again, don't know when, but I hope, you know, the restrictions, you know, again, I know the restrictions have always been rightfully kind of based on behavior, you know. So I would like to, you know, if we delve back into late night, again, take baby steps. You know, we'd like to have music here soon. You know, again, another industry that's taken a, you know, right on the forehead, right? And it's the livelihood of a lot of people. You know, we talked earlier, you know, some it's their secondary job. But, you know, what but with secondary job, that's still income into your home, right? And you know, we pay a lot of money out annually, you know, and we're just one among many that do, but the musicians and PEI are, you know, are among those that might get forgotten otherwise. You know, we have, and some it's their primary income, you know, staples here, you know, Gordon Belcher and Richard Wood have been Sunday night staples here for 5 months of the year for, I don't know how long. Gordon Belcher's been playing here for, I think he said 32 years, wow. You know, and Guinness, you know, Jim and Laura and Patty Farrell, husband, wife, and their grown son, you know, they're here anywhere 1 to 3 nights a week for 5 months of the year and have been playing here for over 30 years, you know. So there's just so many, again, you mentioned, you know,
supply chain.
It really is. And so we're really, really hopeful. We're trying to find a way, you know, the restrictions are a little bit tougher on musicians and choir members.
Unfortunate for you, but anyway.
your secondary career might need a new side hustle.
But I think just in terms of, we talked briefly about it, just in terms of supporting local, but also I think what we don't realize is business supporting business. So do you want to, can you touch on any of that, what you've seen just in terms of the past 3 months of other businesses supporting small businesses?
Another excellent question. And I appreciate you asking that one.
That's why we bring him. He brings it.
He's
a hard-nosed journalist.
Jeez, man, please. We've seen so many good stories globally of people and organizations and associations all doing, you know, digging deep in what can we do to help our community, what can we do to help but the business support has been, again, in PEI, that's why we choose to live here, right? Because you help each other and
so even competitors, you're
of
collaboration, you're doing that within the
business. You know, and you know, I suspect, you know, it is in other industries. I wouldn't be convinced it's likely as tight in some industries, but I can tell you in anything restaurant, you know, hospitality related, one of it's part of our DNA, right? You know, if you're in the tourism sector, whether you're a hotel, restaurant, tour guide.
The high tide will float all boats.
Everybody's
doing well.
But no, everybody, you know, everybody, you know, it has been mindful of everybody, you know, generally plays fair. You know, I've been, you know, as you can likely tell, I haven't missed many meals and they, you know, most of them are from here, but they're not all because we try to, we try to make our way around Charlottetown. You know what I mean? And it's not mystery shopping. It's just, again, the support, you know. For those, again, that have been in the sector, you know, it's not for the faint of heart, you know. I think most restaurant owners and operators, you know, do it for the love of it. You know what I mean? You know, enjoyment, you hope at the end of the day you're going to make money.
You know? So maybe you do this for philanthropic reasons, but Sam and I, we're in business to make money.
Well, I'm saying that this year, we're certainly not.
To that point, okay, is this a year where, and I've heard this said before, and we've talked about it, is the goal to minimize your losses?
Like, it is.
Profitability it is. A realistic expectation? Of
Great question.
And does the public know that you're providing a service, you're not really generating?
Excellent question. And you know what?
See, good question.
Yeah, you guys are freaking brilliant. Jeez.
You're not CBC.
Yeah. Great question. I suspect it varies, from place to place. You know, if anybody this year made money, I'd be absolutely shocked. Hmm. Large or small.
And what's the duration? Like, do you measure that? Is it a calendar year? Is it fiscal from today? Like, how? I think this could have legs. I mean, it just takes a long time.
It really
when
does.
A train stops, as it did in February,
it
takes a long time for that locomotion to build
back up. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it here, and we're just seeing it downtown. Yeah. You know, again, you know, drive through Cavendish. Mm-hmm. You know, how gut-wrenching is that? You know, and downtown. You know, again, there's days, you know, downtown. Wow, your stomach just does circles. And I don't mean just for us, but you just drive by places and think, oh man, you know, that's their livelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, and as I said earlier, you know, business, you know, being in business is not for everyone. You know, it's a choice of Kent and I and many others, you know, but it's, you know, you can have glory days, mm-hmm. you know, there's, you know,
that's some of us.
Well, it is, you know, and you know, but you know, I think through the past 3 months and 4 months, I guess 3.5, I guess, you know, there are so many silent business owners that are again scared. You know, I come back to, you know, perhaps scared to share the report card or the results for fear of, you know, looking or feeling like a failure. And it's got nothing to do with that, but the business community has been perhaps apprehensive to speak up for what they might face, you know, and have faced, you know. Thankfully it's in moderation for fear of sounding greedy, and it's not about greed, whether you're in this industry or, you know, or other. Would you like to own a hotel today? Right. Would you like to own a hotel?
Or an airline?
An airline, a cruise ship. And some people misconstrue, you know, desires to, you know, perhaps expand our seating, for example, you know, or let more people in, you know, being greedy. Yeah, you're looking for more. No, we're not. We're looking to survive.
Trying to pay the light bill.
We're trying to pay Maritime Electric. Yeah. We're trying
hire
to
one more person.
Hire. It is, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, I think the general masses know business owners. You know, it's a 7/24, 365 gig, right? That's what it is. Whether you're open those hours or you're not, it's 7/24, 365. Right. You know, and I just feel that there's a lot that have been reluctant to, you know, for fear of sending the wrong message within the community, and but, you know, we just can't forget, you know, the economy, you know, does drive, you know, it funds our hospitals, it funds our healthcare programs, it funds our roads, and you know, that's just from the taxes. And then, as I said this before, you know, when was the last time you were at a charity event, you know, for regardless of what cause it is, you know, and it'll raise, you know, tens of thousands of dollars because of the generosity of Islanders. Well, you can go down that donation sheet and you're going to see, you know, restaurant, hotel,
golf course,
retailers, golf course, you know, oyster guy, lobster guy, meat guy, you know what I mean?
They can't do that.
Well, you know what? The ripple effect is so enormous you can't even describe it. Even advertising, right now, you know, and again, we're one of many that spend a ton of money in advertising, you know. And I look at those, you know, I look at Yannick with the Buzz, they bought the Buzz within 2 weeks of COVID shutdown, you know. And it's an important medium for a lot of people. And God love them, you know. We really can't afford to take an ad, but we're going to, you know what I mean? Again, because it all has a ripple effect, right? And I'm sure everybody else, you know, will find a way to do the same. But there's just so many. And I hope this does not sound in any way like a sad sack story, you know what I mean? But it takes it all, like the impacts are just totally undescribable. indescribable to the whole community.
But no business owner wants to stand up and say, look, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
We really need your support. Come and support local. As one who's had many spectacular failures, I'm happy to say that, yeah, this is a tough environment.
Yeah.
And businesses are having a hard time.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You've got to support it. If you enjoy the service you get from your local purveyors of any retail, retailers are having a hard time too.
Oh, my word.
You
got to
support the local small guys.
Oh,
but
my
when
word.
When you drive around downtown, as you said, and you see natural selection playing out in front of your eyes, the impact of that to employees and the tax base, and to the tenants, the renters,
It is, and I couldn't agree more. And you know, I think you know, there's so many organizations that have stood tall through it. And one, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say whatever, but I'm just
we don't edit this.
But one, and I always, you know, fear of pointing somebody out and missing somebody else. But Ocean 100. In my humble opinion, has been a community leader, to say the least. And, you know, because, and it's got nothing to do with the fact that, you know, Jennifer is a good friend of ours, right? And but you know what? They have listened to the challenges facing business community, period. And their parent company issued grants for advertising. And, you know, so recognizing that, you know, advertising budgets are skimpy, right? If any, but they granted a lot of wishes, to companies across PEI in a time where they've never needed it more. But in addition to that, the messaging has been about community. And I applaud, you know, I applauded, you know, high five to them because, you know, they're reminding us all there has never been a more important time to shop local and buy PEI. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to buy from some neighbors. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of good neighbors in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia and other places. But if there's ever a time and, you know, and sometimes it may cost you a little bit more to shop locally than online,
right?
And that's what their messaging has stood out to me, because they pointed out that it is local business that supports your kids' soccer teams and hockey teams and basketball
creates
teams
employment.
And creates employment and all that stuff. And I'm not telling people, you know, or suggesting they don't shop online, but if there's ever a time where you need to give it a second thought, you know, I'm not saying self-serving, I'm just saying the business community at large, you know, needs and the retailers, because I tell you, you know, so you may see a sexier pair of shoes online somewhere, but you know what?
Even if they don't fit, buy them local and kind of keep.
You know what? Proud Shoes. I'll just use them as one example. You know, a long-time storied family company in PEI that would sure love to sell somebody a pair of shoes today, rather than have them delivered from
Amazon.
You shop at Right Shoes a lot. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Nice heels.
Susie Shear.
Another good local.
So before we finish up, one thing I really wanted to touch on is, this has been kind of a mantra through COVID-19, is the opportunity that it does present. So a lot, oftentimes we'll always dwell on the negative parts, mm-hmm. and it is negative. It's gut-wrenching how fiscally negative it is, but there is through every crisis, there is opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you can, when you walk up Dublin, you can see that you are taking advantage of the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
There's new construction going outside, and I'm sure there's other things you've done, whether internally or externally, that have taken advantage of the downtimes to kind of reassess and reaffirm yourself for when a post-COVID world. So the opportunity in that.
Yeah. Great question. It has, and we are hopeful that this time next week we'll have our first ever street side presence on Sydney Street.
Do you need a DJ?
Yeah.
I'll leave my car.
Okay.
Right. Sign up.
Awesome. That's been a spiritual lift for us, and our employees are excited because we've
put the whole area.
Yeah. Be more vibrant. Well, we hope. We find out Thursday evening after a vote whether the street closure.
So this is
occurs.
City Council. But city, yeah. I mean, my sense is City Council have to be supporting any business who want to try something innovative.
Yeah, I think, and they seem, I don't know the vote, but I will say, you know, they've been listening. You know, we had, Greg Rivard, who oversees the planning, and Alana Jankov, who's been the councillor for this part of town, they've been very helpful in I guess addressing, you know, and helping us do a gap analysis, if you will, to see where, you know, where fit is it safe to do it, and I respect all of that, and I think, you know, fingers crossed, so we're very hopeful again. We have our patio with or without the street closure, which we're blessed to have, but the street closure would, I think, drive more traffic and and let's face it, you know, downtown is not a place in the summer months where Islanders have a history of going.
It's busy. It's crowded. It's expensive. There's a lot of people. So this is exactly the kind of leadership that the council, I hope, will take. And I'm going to be optimistic they are going to support local business.
Yeah.
What other leadership do you think could be demonstrated, or what else could other levels of government do that might support? I mean, could they do reductions in some of the taxes on liquor? Like, is there something that would be a benefit if you had that additional incremental to invest at some place rather than... I mean, there's a lot of rebates for everything.
There have been. Support? I think they've, you know, that's always a slippery slope, right?
Well,
I do, you know, anybody that's, you know, spent any time with me the last, you know, 3 or 4 months, would know that I've been very complimentary of our government locally and nationally.
Sure.
You know, if you look at other parts of the world, you know, I think for the most part, our politicians have put political stripes aside and did work together. You know,
Republicans and Democrats are working together too, though. I mean, and they're spending trillions of dollars to stimulate their economy.
Yes.
Everybody has to work together.
They absolutely do.
It would be unacceptable.
Agreed. But I think, you know, so we're thankful of some of the measures they put in place. I think, you know, I think there's more that will need to be done. Likely at both levels, whether that's, you know, tax reduction, you know, again, I think I really, to tell you the truth, I don't think they have any choice if they want any of the economies to survive. You just don't, you know, business owners like CEO are taking on the chin right now, you know,
if it gets easy to turtle. At some point, businesses will just say, this is not worth the effort. I can't make the return.
Yeah.
And business owners are rational actors. If you're not going to make a return on your time, you don't have to do it for philanthropic reasons. But, you know, some of these programs that are expiring, like the CEWS, we talked about that, that's kind of on the cusp of expiration.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't continue, do you make, not you, but does business maintain the staff complement they have, or do they retract? If the wage subsidies, if the rental subsidies. So I think the government have an obligation. They shut the economy. Business didn't shut this
That's
down.
Right. That, yeah, yeah.
Government
yeah,
shut this.
Yeah, yeah,
They've
yeah.
got to support through the recovery.
Yeah, yeah,
and unfortunately, we're a seasonal economy.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to, I believe, they're going to have an obligation to support businesses through the dark days of winter.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be spring before we see much light again.
Yeah, yeah.
There's my...
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I hope somebody somewhere in government's listening.
Regardless, you know, I will say, you know, that there is more, regardless of who is there. You know, there's a reason why I'm not a politician, right? Because I don't want their job right now. there is, and you know, I have a level of confidence that the governments will continue to support business. At the end of the day, you don't have a choice. You just don't have a choice. It's the income. It's provincial income. At the end of the day, you know, everything else is, you know, most other things are seen as expenses on the P&L, right, for the province, and it doesn't. And you know, you get the tax, it's your top line. So you don't have a bottom line if you don't have a top, right? So, But anyway, but I think they will. You know, I feel confident again that they will, and I don't know what those answers are, but I think, you know,
business consistent.
Yeah, and I think, you know, everybody's situation is a little bit different. So I think, you know, right now they've been trying to do kind of blanket coverage, you know, that can serve all sectors quickly.
Yes.
You know,
being responsive, and that's critical.
Yeah.
To tailor some of these things. And
yes.
Have a little longer horizon.
Yes.
And kind
yes.
of ease out of this because you can't afford to.
Yeah. No. No. It's not. You know, it's not sustainable, just to say the least. You know. So I think. You know. I think. You know. I think this weekend, you know, will be, you know, our biggest, you know, telling tale yet, right? Because the first time we've let visitors come in, and again, as you said, you know, there's a lot of excitement and likely an equal amount of concern. But you know, I can tell you if we don't open the province soon, there's going to be a lot more to worry about than if we do. And I totally get, you know, what I totally get that everyone's appetite to go out in public is different. My, you know, my parents are in their 80s, so guess what? They don't go very far. I go a lot farther. You know what I mean?
Sam, you can't stop them.
Sam, you just.
But if this bubble breaks,
yeah,
and it has,
yeah,
great. How long is there any forecast? How long is it going to take for visitors to come? So great, the hotels open up on Friday or Saturday,
which is great news.
It's great, but how long before you get a 20% occupancy? Like, is this going to be for supply, or are we looking at the end of July before we can even?
My own personal guess, I would say it's going to be like August before you see anything of any size. One on timing, right? You know, one vacation requests. You know what I mean?
And comfort to travel.
Comfort to travel and vacation requests usually. You know what I mean? With advance notice. So
I've been on vacation since March. So ready to go.
No, I think we're touching on all the right things.
Yes.
I think it's warranting more discussion. But we will. You got to go back in the kitchen.
It sounds like we're getting ready to open.
That's going to be a big night tonight.
Yeah.
So get down to the. Yeah. Should we go to the Dublin or Clada? Where would you suggest?
Well, you know what?
Paying, we'll go to Clada.
We can do both.
Anyway, yeah. No, that's that I said, as I was telling you, you know, we're sitting in 37 years of history right here on the Clada. A lot of people kind of have forgotten about it, you know, as I said before, and so people. So the, again, a shining light for us is the fact that our patio is going to be the Clada, you know, because we don't have a storefront, right? Because everyone would know this building as the Old Dublin Pub.
So if you're uncomfortable to get into a physical environment, sit in a social distance space, so this is well laid out, you can sit outside.
And
you can get
next
the
week
same
you'll
food.
Be able to sit on a very well built McPhail, you know, patio. So we're that's one thing giving us a lot of inspiration right now, and it's, you know, it's given me personally a really good lift the last few weeks seeing our employees get excited about it, and just, you know, so the Clada will be open during the day, which we've never done. I don't think it was a long time ago. So we're bringing, you know, reinventing, you know, or reintroducing the Clada to Charlottetown. And it, you know, it's 37 years, but again, so that's one, and making it more accessible to a larger part of the population. So,
oh, well, we thank you for your time, and you'll see us around for sure.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Anyway, kudos to you guys. A lot of people have had to dig deep for innovation, and you know, I've watched a few of these, all well done, and you know, again, it's just another form of island companies digging deep to stimulate, you know, and get good stories out there.
So. And hearing, you know, in your case, you've adapted. This has been a really unprecedented challenge.
Yeah,
businesses adapt to it. Everybody adapts differently. Jeff Cook, you know, he adapted quickly, used technology. People who've had technology that has been not fully utilized.
Yeah.
Utilized.
Look at e-commerce stores for pretty much every brewery, every retail store, everything.
Home delivery, as you've done curbside.
Yeah.
So to hear how you've adapted and how You know, we've talked a little bit outside of this program, but you know, now you're extending your service options by having different venues. These are the success stories that, regardless of the business that you're in, everybody needs to adapt, because we're in this for a little bit longer.
Yeah, we are.
So thank you very much. Thank you, Sam McPhail, as always. Thank you, Ken.
Happy to have you here. Really appreciate being a part of your stellar cast and lineup. we'll see you soon.
So that was our interview inside the Colada Oyster House with none other than Kent McPhee. Kent is a very close family friend of mine. He was actually my father's best man at his wedding. I've always considered him someone I could look up to, someone I could talk to if I had needed any guidance in terms of business or life in general. And he is doing an exceptional job of running the Old Dublin Pub and Colada Oyster House. It continues to be a powerhouse in the restaurant industry on PEI, and I'm sure it will never be going away anytime soon. So if you are hungry or looking for a drink, be sure to hit up the Old Dublin Pub in Colada Oyster House. It's always good to support local, and in fact, support any restaurant in any way you can. I know our waistlines might not agree with that, but you do what you can when times are tough. But this has been another edition of The Exchange, presented by Confederation Group, and we will see you next week.